The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is this?
There is nobody that holds a candle to the king.
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to, like, maybe you build some tag teams here.
We are the absolute best tag team of all time, bar none, the greatest tag team of all time.
Jay White's going to be a star, no matter where he goes.
I'm going to be the guy that spits in the face of cliches. I'm going to be the guy that tells time to f*** off.
Man, what in the world is Joe doing? Just standing. And then I thought to myself, maybe he just likes Jericho's music as much as I do.
Hey, those two kids can wrestle. Really good, well-conditioned athletes. I'm impressed with the former champion, Tyler Bate. I think Pete Dunne, him winning was not a big shock to me. But two really talented guys. And the nice thing about the UK scene, from my perspective, is that the covers are loaded with some great stars that I think we'll be seeing hopefully in the future.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the mat.
And your host, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Welcome, everyone, to Wrestling to the Max, episode 248, part 1, and we are brought to you by the W2Mnet.com. That's right, it's where you need to go find all your great wrestling content, plus a lot more. Don't forget to go subscribe if you haven't already to Wrestling to the Max. You can find it on iTunes or wherever you like to find podcasts. Of course, rate and review as well. And if, of course, you know, maybe you love everything the W2Mnet family has to offer, make sure you go subscribe to the W2M Network. That's right, to give you all the same great content that we offer, plus a lot more. You guys are not going to want to miss out on all of the fun. I am Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And, you know, we are, of course, you know, going to get into a lot of things today, guys. We're going to be talking about some big news topics involving, of course, Ring of Honor, or some other great content when it comes to what's going on, you know, of course, in New Japan with the Best of the Super Juniors this week. Plus, we're also talking about that UK special. That's right. That happened this past Friday, and we'll be talking about everything when it comes to that UK special and getting into our thoughts and maybe some of the predictions of what's going to happen with this thing. But that's what we got for the show. Really quickly, before we get started in this entire thing and really get going with the wrestling content, I just want to stop and say, you know, a lot of prayers, a lot of thoughts or wishes are all going out to the people in Manchester. Just so sad to see, you know, people having a great time at a concert, you know, and just enjoying themselves, especially the youth. It was really a big youth movement because it was, you know, an Ariana Grande show. So, you know, you were lots of teenagers, lots of probably parents taking their kids, and such a sad deal to see that we have right now, I believe 19 have passed and over 50 injured. So this is a terrible thing. You hate to see this kind of stuff happen, but that's kind of the world we live in today. We just want to throw our, you know, thoughts out there. I don't know if you guys wanted to say anything about that or not. I wanted to mention something about it.
Yeah, I think last I saw, just scrolling through Facebook, it's up to 25 confirmed dead, which is super unfortunate.
Yeah, I was really hoping otherwise. That is really sad, you know. And, you know, once again, it's a world we live in, and I hate to see it that way. But, you know, I think our dream is this stuff will eventually end. But, I you know, who knows. But, yeah, enough about the depressing stuff. You know, I just wanted to say, you know, give some respect out there. I'm really excited about talking about some of our wrestling content tonight. And, of course, you know, we always start this thing off with some quick hits. So we will be right back with quick hits right after this, guys.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
Take it away, Gary.
All right, let's get this thing started and talk about what's going on in the world of wrestling. I'll let you guys know that Ring of Honor has announced today that they'll be doing something really kind of interesting. That's right, the War of the Worlds will be taking a UK tour. That's right, RevPro, CMLL, and of course New Japan will all be joining forces with the stars of Ring of Honor and getting into a big situation here when it comes to a tour. This is going to be kind of cool, Paul.
Yeah, this is massive news, because not only is it just Ring of Honor, New Japan, but you have RevPro and CMLL all in on the game. The dates are the 18th through the 20th for Ring of Honor. However, RevPro is going to do their Summer Sizzler show, which is always a blast, at Your Call on the 17th, at the night before. And then the first night of the tour will be in the same place on the 18th. They'll go to the Liverpool Olympia on the 19th. And then they're going to have Ring of Honor's very first time they've ever ran Scotland. They're going to be in Edinburgh for that last show on the 20th. So this is really, really cool. It's just, you know, wrestling in 2017, like four great promotions all come together, and I'm jealous of the British right now.
Yeah, I think we all kind of are jealous of the British right now for getting to have all those promotions together in one show. That's pretty awesome. That's cool that, you know, hey, that'd be sort of going their own thing with the UK promotions, so it's good that ROH can start touring UK and making a presence there too. So, you know, I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. This is going to be something that's really cool. I think it's really smart. And Ring of Honor, you know, they're retooling. They've got a lot of new talent. And, of course, doing these type of shows really helps them as well. And the UK right now is a hot spot. And, of course, you know, there's probably no promotion, you know, internationally hotter than RevPro at the moment. I mean, they've just really been going. And he's just going to be excited for Ring of Honor and the fact that they've kind of planned to do this and really join forces with all these great promotions. I mean, I am very jealous right now, just wishing I could make my way over there, but I know I can't cross the pond at this minute. So, but yeah, that's what's going on with Ring of Honor. I want to let you know over there in the UK, there is a little promotion called What Culture, and they've been doing some, you know, pretty awesome things as well, making lots of noise on the indie scene. They are actually going to be doing something, though, that's not so happy. They are actually going to be canceling their show, and that show is, of course, a show that they've been airing on YouTube. It has been, you know, something that they called Loaded TV. And, you know, the fact that YouTube has decided to no longer have advertising on wrestling content made this what it is, for the fact that they are no longer making any money through YouTube has affected their business, and they just decided to go ahead and just drop it. You know, when they have, you know, these big matches and stuff, they love to get the content out there to people. But not only that, the more viewers they get, it just helps them monetarily. And a lot of other wrestling promotions, wrestling podcasts, anything under the sun when it comes to wrestling on YouTube has been successful to some extent. But now this whole change on YouTube has changed things. Sean, I mean, this is kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, it affects everyone. And affects, you know, unless you're a partner like WWE, that it doesn't affect them. Or you know, basically somebody that's a big media deal that they actually have no problem giving ad revenue to. But this is, you know, I don't think that wrestling, I think we need to put in perspective that wrestling did not get singled out here. There are a lot of things that YouTube and Google decided, and their advertisers decided, hey, we don't want to cover this anymore. We don't want to give ad revenue to this anymore. Video games is being affected. Our hits are affected big time on YouTube. We used to get a lot of more hits on YouTube. They've been lowered now because this also affects what you see on YouTube. Like the things that, you know, are on your front pages and what gets the most play, that kind of thing. It's changed a lot of what YouTube used to be because they figured out that, hey, if we don't give all these people all this ad revenue money, we can make more money. So, you know, it's a business thing. It sucks. And it's going to probably borderline kill a lot of these smaller promotions that are basically trying to live off that. And now they have to figure out something else. I think Eric Bischoff was talking to some people on Twitter about there might be another service that's coming soon that may be able to resolve this issue, but we'll see, because it's hard to outdo what YouTube does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, for every Twitch that comes along and was able to outdo YouTube as the place where you want to stream games, it's going to take a lot for it to come and go, oh, well, now we're going to have a totally different place that nobody's ever heard of be the place you want to put your content on.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's Daily Motion or something like that, I don't think you're going to get anywhere near the traffic. But this is a big deal. And what cult, like, there were a couple promotions that sort of went all in on the YouTube thing beyond being the one stateside, I think, who probably had the biggest presence on there. Now, over maybe the biggest one that went all in was What Culture, and that was how they made their money to begin with, was YouTube ad revenue, not to mention everything else they do. And they uploaded a match with Alberto Del Rio and Rey Mysterio Jr. that got over 1.1 million views, and they made $44. That's unbelievable, because anything really over 1 million I would still consider as viral, and it's just incredible that it's that big a difference, especially when you think they were probably making at least hundreds of thousands of dollars, because What Culture uploads so many videos, it's ridiculous. But that really, really sucks. So
yeah.
What Sean said is this might, What Culture is being affected, they're still going to run pay-per-views, their World Cup thing is still going to be a thing, they just won't be doing loaded TV anymore, so that really stinks for them. But I mean, adapt and survive, right? I mean, that's the name of the game in pro wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, this has been going on for a long time, so this is nothing new to promoters or any other promotion itself. You know, you've got to find ways to adjust to the times, to whatever the audience is doing or how they're watching it, what's going to draw, all that kind of stuff, all is involved, and it always evolves, and you never can stop evolving, and once you do stop evolving, that's when your promotion fails. So we'll see. So it's still sad. I mean, Loaded TV was such a cool thing. I hate that's gone. But yeah, let's talk about something else that's interesting here. Andrew Everett has been wrestling with a torn meniscus for about 7 months now. And that's hard to believe, but he's been doing it, toughing it out. But he is finally going to have surgery. And I think, Paul, this is the right decision for him.
I can't believe he's working on that with 7 months. Like, that seems incredibly painful. A meniscus is a tendon inside your knee and your leg, and it's kind of important. So is unbelievable that he's been able to do what he has been able to do for the last 7 months just on that. So he's getting surgery. He says he's going to be back in time for Slammiversary. So you know, good vibes and good wishes out to Mr. Andrew Everett, who's a phenomenal talent.
Yeah, we saw that take down Seth Rollins, you know, so we've usually when a WWE guy gets it, they make them sit out, and you're getting the surgery, you're getting this done or whatever, but when you don't have the medical staff telling you what to do, or you have to rely on doing these indie bookings aside from whatever you get from Impact, you got to tough it out, sadly. So you know, I'm glad that he's been able to get this surgery now, but man, 7 months, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's just, I just can't even fathom that. That's got to be so painful. But, you know, I mean, at least he's getting it taken care of. And that's the one thing that you really look at these guys and say is they are tough individuals. And they may not be the biggest guys. They may not be the most muscular. But you know some of these guys with their bodies as a ringer and just pretend like nothing's going on. And they, you know, have an injury like this. It's just amazing to know this. And, you know, I'm glad he's finally getting it done. It's a wise decision. Well, you know, we don't really honestly don't have a ton of quick hits this week. I do want to throw another thing out there before we move on and, you know, jump into some of the other content we have for you guys today. I want Sean to kind of update us. Right now, we're still in that limbo of what's going to be happening with the Hardys and if they're ever going to get the broken gimmick in WWE, you know, legally, will it ever happen? You know, there's been a few little footnotes, kind of some things coming out about this and maybe some rumors out there that we may want to go ahead and address. So, Sean, why don't you tell us about what's going on with that currently?
So, this is a piece from Ryan Satin over at Pro Wrestling Sheet. I want to give him the correct credit here, because if not, he'll go tell you about it on Twitter. So, yeah, Ed Nordholm, and if you listen to this week's live audio wrestling that they always do on Sundays, and then usually with pay-per-views like this week, it's even a bigger deal than their normal weeks. But, you know, Ed Nordholm, and of course this is also a kind of thing for them because, you know, the law, all of them are sort of in cahoots with Impact, Anthem owns Fight Network and all that stuff. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say that they're going to do a hard interview with the guy, but so basically the Hardys are trying to get, you know, the rights. And at one point it seemed like they were talking and they were trying to get things down and that they were going to sort of come to an agreement. Because the Hardys want everything. They want the trademarks. They don't want Impact having anything. They don't want to have to sub-license. You know, they don't want to have to do what the Beatles did from Michael Jackson, where every time Paul McCartney sang Hey Jude, he had to pay Michael Jackson some money. You know, they want to be able to own the rights to everything and not have to deal with that. So, apparently Ed Nordholm says that he has talked... or the lawyers have talked to WWE's lawyers and that WWE has told them that they don't want the Hardy stuff. They don't want the Hardy trademarks. They don't want the broken gimmick or anything like that. That seems kind of counterproductive when everything that we had heard and everybody else had been talking about was that WWE brought them in with the possibility that they could do the broken gimmick on WWE because that makes them new. It makes them different than when they were around before. I mean, right now they're living on the nostalgia and that's fine. And they're also living on the, hey, we can kind of sort of do this gimmick, but we can't really do the whole thing. So let's hope that it gets fixed. And he says that, they're having proposals back and forth on this, and WWE has advised me directly that they have no interest in this. So, you know, I don't know that what he's saying, you know, we have always been amenable in negotiating an arrangement with the Hardys that respects our investment in this IP. So basically, Impact is not budging on that they want to keep the Broken Hardys gimmick. And the Hardys, obviously, they want to own the entire thing. And in my opinion here, this is me speculating from what I'm seeing and from just knowing WWE, right? WWE likes to have their own trademarks. WWE likes to own everything. Well, you know, if it just like they've done with other people, like, you know, CM Punk, for instance, with other guys, while you work for them, they can own the trademark on your name and on your stuff. So while the Hardys would own the trademark to the broken gimmick and everything, WWE would get to own those trademarks while the Hardys work there. They can't do that if Impact still owns the trademarks and everything. Mm-hmm. So for me, I feel like WWE is saying no because... no, we're not going to pay you to be able to use this on our show. We don't need it. We're WWE. And Nordholm is leaving that part out to make himself look better because obviously he doesn't want to make himself look like the villain here. He feels he's justified in what they're doing. And, I mean, and that's fine and everything, but I feel like, and you know, the Hardys have a beef here because they could sue Impact for all the stuff that was going on pre them with Dixie and all that stuff, and having to pay for all this stuff with the broken gimmick and having to pay for certain things with Impact for it to continue to run and all that stuff too. So, you know, it may take legal action, big time legal action by the Hardys for anything that move here, but right now we're kind of stuck in this standstill, I guess, until somebody budges.
Really, what this all sounds like it's boiling down to is that nobody has changed their story here. Impact still says they still own it. The Hardys still say they own it. And if WWE ever wants to do anything with it on their own, I would wager they could just try to outright buy the rights for whatever fee Impact's going to try to charge them, or Anthem, or whoever's going to run that. And it's probably going to be a lot of money. And I don't think WWE is going to make that kind of investment without having a guarantee that's going to make that money back plus whatever profits they're looking to gain. So if the Hardys win it, great. You know, like, go them, and certainly I'm sure they have the money, and maybe WWE's legal team will advise their legal team and all this stuff. But until somebody decides to do something drastic, I don't see a broken Hardy family in our future.
Yeah, I mean, this is difficult to really gauge until we get more headway. And you know, I wanted to bring this up for the fact that there is a little bit of more information there for people to kind of grab onto. But, you know, at this point, we're still in the same place, and no headway has really been made. But at least now you're informed of some of the things that are kind of taking place at this moment. So, you know, for what it's worth, there you go. You got your feel for the Hardys. But yeah, well, you know, don't forget, everyone, we are going to be talking Best of the Super Juniors later tonight. Sean is going to talk all about that and lead us down that road. Him and Paul will be covering that in full. But now we are going to go and talk about the UK tournament special. Not a tournament, but the UK special. I think it's crazy confused on that sometimes. But it's basically the UK championship is on the line, really, in a way, because, you know, they're going to be putting on the number one contenders and that. And, of course, all that great stuff that happened this weekend. So we'll be talking about that, and Paul will be leading us down that road. So let's do it. Let's talk some UK.
So the UK Championship aired on the network on Friday. These were taped, I think, 2 weeks before it aired. Nigel and Jim Ross are doing the commentary. Just to briefly touch on them, Jim Ross was his usual self in the day and age that he's in now, but Nigel, for me, really carried the show on this. Obviously, he's the one with all the information, but it feels like he's just gotten oodles and oodles of magnitudes better than what he was on Ring of Honor.
Well, that's because he's got somebody coaching him and somebody kind of, you know, leading the way and providing a way for him to. And you can hear it at the TakeOver show. I forgot to mention that, too. He really was very vocal during the TakeOver show, too, without mentioning Ring of Honor this time, of saying, of kind of just dictating things, telling you facts, telling you things, and it really paid off well in this UK show because you learned a lot about these guys. And, you know, like you said, JR seems like there's a step slow there. Obviously, it's he's not reacting as much as you know you're used to with him, but he's still giving you the great JR call. And it's still kind of soothing to hear him again on a WWE show, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and you know, I'm so good and very happy about Nigel doing, you know, a lot better than what we've seen him in Ring of Honor. I'm very happy about that. JR, I think, you know, this is a new situation for him, and I think he had to get comfortable, and until he really gets comfortable in his shoes doing the UK stuff, I think, you know, you're going to have him kind of be a little bit more on the background versus what Nigel, who is very familiar with these guys, knows a lot of history with pretty much this roster, So that's the positive thing for Nigel, whereas Jim Ross is trying to catch up. So, but still, I mean, I think both of them did a fine job nonetheless.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with all those statements. So they open... First, they give you profile videos for everybody once again, in case you've forgotten who some of these guys are, which is handy. Wolfgang and Joseph Connors are your opener. They go 11 minutes. Wolfgang ends up getting the victory with the senton. This was fine. I thought this was kind of bland, though. It was really slow for an opener you expect nowadays. And maybe you shave a couple minutes off, this would have been much better. But for me, a little long, a little plodding, not a whole lot to really grab you right off the bat.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not that big a fan of Joseph Connors either. I feel like he kind of led to the plodding or whatever, and I get it, he's the heel and he's supposed to do these kinds of things, but I don't think he messed with Wolfgang very well. This was just kind of a, you know, it was there.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, in a way, it's uninteresting he kind of was in this matchup. I think Connors is he's got something about him. I don't know what it is. But I kind of want to pay attention to him a little bit. I want to kind of see where he goes. And maybe there's something special there that just I can't figure it out. But I want to see what's going to happen. This really didn't prove anything, though, to make me, you know, like him. It's just this weird thing. Wolfgang, though, I could see where they want to get him going. I mean, he's a big, strong guy. He makes a lot of headway. They kind of really featured him pretty well when it came to the tournament itself. So it's nice to see here. They still want to keep that momentum behind him. And I think that he has some great things to offer, you know, but you know, until then we're going to see some matches like this.
Mm-hmm. I think Joseph Connors has the look personally. He's not all the way there, I think, everywhere else, but he certainly does have the look I think WWE likes. It's not the big strong man, but he is tall. He's not terrible to look at, he's not awful in the ring. He's got that Randy Orton syndrome to him, right? Where he's just going through the paces almost, and doesn't seem particularly motivated at times, which really hurts. I'm a big fan of Wolfgang, though. The dude can straight up work for how big he is. He's big and agile, and really, what I'm trying to say here is I'm a sucker for big guys who can do little guy things, and that's something Wolfgang does very well.
I love the swanton. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah.
A guy like that shouldn't be able to do it, but yeah, he does a great job.
He can do flippies, too. We just haven't gotten a chance to see a whole lot of them.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So then we get this interesting tag match as Rich Swann teams up with Dan Maloney to take on TJP and the Brian Kendrick. This was a little bit better. How about that? Lots of crowd interaction here, which was great. So much. I mean, they bagged on TJ the whole time, which is wonderful, calling him a wanker and all that great stuff. Swan and Maloney end up coming short. TJP ends up distracting Swan a little bit, and then Kendrick gets the roll up to get his team the victory and a whole lot of booze.
Yeah, and I love that JR was asking what a wanker, you know, meant, basically. Yeah, I said,
Nigel's like, we lose our job. We can't say on TV.
Yeah, it's a lose your job kind of thing. Okay, yeah, we won't say it. But yeah, no, besides that, though, this match was, you know, pretty good. I mean, it was nothing super outlandish great, but it was good, you know, and kind of a... not a great ending, but it was fun. And I think, you know, Maloney was a guy that people want to pay attention to, and you're trying to really get behind him because the crowd was behind him. They really enjoyed him. And of course, you know, the rest of these guys we see a lot on 205. So, you know, I like that. And they're a guy that we're unfamiliar with in a match full of guys we kind of really are familiar with. So I appreciate it for what it was worth. Nothing super spectacular, but it was a decent.
Yeah, you know, I liked this. It was a fun match. I thought, you know, Swan worked pretty well here, too. Kendrick and Perkins being the heel team, I think, was perfect. And I think this match doesn't really work that well if TJ Perkins is not getting the crap he's getting from the crowd. That's kind of what made this fun. I think it's a bit, you know, it's a good match. It's better than the opener. It was a kind of a way to have something different that's not supposed to singles matches. So I was fine with that. I mean, I guess before you move on, I don't know if this is going to become a trend when we have the show itself or not, but we had one of our staffers really upset by this. He wasn't the only one. I saw a bunch of, you know, stuff on Twitter about it and in other Facebook groups too about not a lot of people happy about the 205 guys being on the same show with the UK guys. Like, I guess either you wanted more UK guys or just why are they mixing here?
I think me and Gary have actually talked about this a little bit on, I think it's either NXT or 205, one of the two, but for me, I think this makes sense because it cross promotes with another WWE Network show, and I think if we keep getting more of these, you'll see guys sort of crisscross across these shows, like 205 Live and NXT guys showing up on the UK, or, you know, like we've seen the UK guys show up on NXT. I don't have
a nobody's complaining
with it.
About that. Bait and done match after, you know.
Yeah, after.
I just think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, bait and done go and have the best match on that show. No one's complaining, but 205 guys show up on a UK show. Oh my God, the world ended.
Right.
Yeah. And it's all about, you know, kind of you, Paul. You're right. We did talk about this a little bit, and it's really about getting names on those UK shows. And yeah, sure, it's the cruiserweights, but still their names. People know Brian Kendrick, and they followed Rich Swann, and they know, of course, TJP. They and their future guys that are going to be heading over there from NXT or 205, they're going to know, and that's going to get people in the door, and that also kind of helps them compete a little bit with those other big promotions over there in the UK who are constantly putting on great shows, giving you indie guys with big names. So WWE's just doing it their way, you know, of giving you some guys that you see on TV in America that you don't always get a chance to see. You get a chance to see the UK guys all the time when you actually live there. Mm-hmm. So this is a treat for them. So I think it's just kind of a way to cross-promote, like Paul was pointing out. But not only that, to get some star power behind some of these shows until these UK guys are standing on their own and making their own stars.
Right, and we're going to talk about a couple of those stars that they're in the process of making here right now, because Trent Seven gets a promo to talk about his arm injury that he sustained, but he's clear to wrestle. And before he can finish his next thought, Pete Dunne's in there to attack that arm, beats on it some, and gives him that classic villain smirk that he's got down so masterfully and walks away, which leads us into their number one contenders match, which, seeing as TakeOver has already happened, we know how this went. Pete Dunne does, in fact, defeat Trent Seven with a bitter end. But this match is really good. Lots of smart work from Dunne focusing on the arm and just being an overall dick, and Seven trying to play scrappy and just coming up a little short once again. But this was all kinds of awesome, if you ask me. I'm a big fan of Trent Seven and Pete Dunne. Let's just say, in the past week, he's done a lot to win me over, way more than I ever thought I would actually like him.
Yeah, this was great. I love this match. It was 15 minutes of Dunne being smart and working that arm, and then Seven having to find ways to keep him from doing it, and then also trying to keep Dunne down as well to, you know, try to obviously win the match. But I mean, they had some great near falls here. The Seven Stars was tremendous there from Seven. And then Dunne does some heel tactics to win. I love the going back to the old rake of the eyes.
Yeah, that was cool. And, you know, it's really what Pete Dunne is all about, right? You know, finding those little cheap ways and making sure that he is vicious enough to find that victory in whatever it may take. And I like that. That's kind of why I love Pete Dunne in a way, because he's kind of has a little bit of that William Regal in him. He kind of has a little bit of a lot of other guys And that's what's super cool about him. And I think even Trent Seven, though, we keep talking about him as well. He's a guy that really showcased that he could really sell the arm, really showcase his ability to wrestle with just one arm in a way, and did a pretty good job of it, because there were times in this match you kind of thought to yourself, man, Trent Seven's doing good enough. Maybe they'll have the super underdog win this, you know? Mm-hmm. It kind of gave you that feeling at times. And, you know, even though in the back of my mind I knew it wasn't going to happen, you just kind of had that feeling, and that's always a good thing. So Trent Seven, great talent, super awesome, but we all knew where Pete Dunne was going.
Yeah, that was certainly in the match, though, that we knew they were going to make. And I'd also be remiss in leaving out that Pete Dunne did come out with the Progress World Championship, because, you know, pro wrestling in 2017 and all that. So really cool for that promotion and those group of guys, because if you're not watching Progress, you're missing out on something really special over there. Anyways, after the match, Dunne says he promised people are going to get hurt, and tomorrow night he's going to take what's rightfully his, because this was, of course, airing before TakeOver. And that leads us right into our championship match as Tyler Bate takes on Mark Andrews, and boy howdy was this awesome. I'm a huge fan of Mark Andrews, outside of TNA, because his TNA run wasn't really all that much, but him in Progress or really anywhere else that he goes, Chikara, another great place he's been to. He just wows you every time, and he does another great job of that here. And Tyler Bate manages to keep in step with him. Not as quick, I would say, as their as the upcoming title match on TakeOver that the Bate and Dunne would have. But this certainly had a great pace, and really it was just about two guys trying to fight each other and win, and Tyler Bate finally does that with the Tyler Driver and calls it a day.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty solid match all the way around. I really enjoyed it. I knew I would. I mean, my God, I mean, I'm with you, Paul. Mark Andrews is an excellent wrestler. You just get entertained by him every time he steps in a ring, and he just wows you. Tyler Bate kind of surprises you all the time. He just finds little things here and there to do to make you go, whoa. And so that was what this match was ended up being, is, you know, little moments here and there to really get you excited. Though, I kind of felt like that it wasn't the pace that I figured it would be. And not only that, you know, you also had the thought process of what was going to be happening following this match. So I think they left a lot of meat on the bone when it came to this match, because I think these guys doing it again, if they were so inclined and needed to do it, they could put on a pretty darn awesome match. Not that this one was bad, but you could kind of see at some points where they kind of left a little bit in the ring.
Yeah, this match was great. Again, just because it's two faces going at it, it doesn't always work well, but Mark Andrews with all his flying around just works well with Tyler Bate does, and they had so many great counters in this. It felt like, God, there's just so much going on, and they had a tremendous match, and I really just love it. I think that at least you've got four guys, just four really, really terrific guys to base your show around. I mean, I don't know about how everybody else is going to come off, but the four that you got to see in these two singles matches, they can carry your show, and that's good for WWE and for this show. I mean, I hope that these guys get to get off this show eventually and get to show up on main roster stuff, because Pete Dunne can probably outdo a lot of the main roster as far as being a heel. He could show a lot of them what they're doing wrong here, because he's tremendous at what he does. I think, besides like Kevin Owens and a few other guys, you can't touch him as far as how great he is. And Tyler Bates just really good at, like, he's not your super, super baby face guy, but he can do it, and just, you know, with his entrance and the way he acts, but he doesn't just, it's kind of like, I guess, like AJ, he can have that little edge to him if he needs to, and it works really well. So, you know, hats off to these guys again for another special and another slew of terrific matches to watch from these guys here.
Yeah, these guys absolutely crushed it for sure. And After the match, Pete Dunne comes out and attacks Andrews, because, of course, he's a dick. And then here comes Regal to sort of tell him off and tell him, dude, don't do that. And Dunn just sort of casually walks into the ring and has a stare down with Tyler Bate to lead us into TakeOver. So the bottom two matches of this, I would say, are definitely worth your time for sure. They're both really great. And if you didn't watch it, definitely make some time to do so.
Yeah, for sure. You know, WWE's going to want you to watch it. Heck, I mean, they promoted it right after Raw this week. So it's available. It's right there. Just go check it out, see what you think. And we'll be kind of covering the UK show as it comes about. We're still, you know, without a date for a regular show. We don't know exactly what's going on with that process. But, you know, once it does happen, we will let you know and keep you guys informed. Well, let's move on, though. Tonight we are going to be talking more Best of the Super Juniors, and Sean is going to lead us down that road and talk about it. So let's go ahead and get it going. Let's talk New Japan.
Ooh, this is hard because I'm
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Hold on.
So we're on night three. Mm-hmm. Officially here. I know for technically today we just got done with night five, and then by the time you're hearing this they will have aired night six. You know, we'll do night six along with, I think night seven is also, they take a break on Wednesday, I think, and then they go back on Thursday. So this is only Block B action, so we're heading into, again, just like with night two where you only have Block A, this is the first night of only Block B action. And I didn't think there was anything like totally blow away on this show. You start out with Yoshinobu, Kanemaru, and ACH, and you know, I thought this match was, it was a good match. Kanemaru gets his first 2 points. But I thought he did a good job of making ACH look really good here, and I think that's kind of what Kanemaru is supposed to do, but he got more points than some people thought he was going to get in our preview there, so.
I'm just more surprised he beat ACH, really, but this is sort of the caliber of match I was expecting Kanemaru to have going forward. Somewhere in the 3-star territory, the 2.5 on some off days. But I think these guys worked really well together. ACH, just he comes off like such a star. And Kanemaru, of course, is the grizzled vet looking to do anything to win. And he certainly does with some low blows and stuff like that. It ends up leading to him hitting a diving DDT to get the victory. But to be honest, I wasn't ever really expecting really great stuff on these smaller shows anyways, but we do get a lot of good stuff just going forward.
Yeah, and I think maybe possibly the best one on the show was Kushida and Tiger Mask, which was right after that. Of course, you know, Kushida trying to get that win still. Tiger Mask, the wily veteran here, so it's not going to be an easy one for Kushida, and that's kind of what he gets into. You know, Trident kicks, Tiger Mask hits that big Tiger Driver, and then the Tiger Mask winds up actually winning this, and Kushida keeps the losing streak going on, but I enjoyed this one. It was a good.
I enjoyed this too, because they approached this much more from a storytelling standpoint of Kushida constantly getting frustrated that he can't put the old man away. Tiger Mask eventually just has enough of it and hits the Tiger Suplex to finish him off. But there's some really great sequences in here, too. Honestly, this is a much better match from Tiger Mask than I ever expected of him during this tournament. So hats off to both of these guys for putting on something really, really fun.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, yeah, that's Tiger Mask's first points of the thing, I think, right?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken here. And then El Desperado, who has been doing really well for himself so far, taking on Bushi. El Desperado trying to out-heal Bushi during this, trying to take off his mask. Almost succeeds doing so. And then you know, Bushi is able to get back into it, but Desperado, of course, has one more trick up his sleeve and is able to shove the ref into the ropes to distract Ibushi, and then he grabs his mask again, because why not, and he gets the pin.
I thought this was another really fun match, too. Desperado and Bushi, I think, had some flashes of chemistry here. Bushi sort of becoming de facto face, because LIJ is just beloved. And, of course, Suzuki Gun is, you know, almost universally hated. So, Despy's really showing me something, I think. And it's going to be a theme going forward anytime I think we see him in this. Just because, like, I think we talked about this during the first couple nights we talked about. Despy doesn't always get a chance to really show you what he can do, because he's stuck in multi-man tags. And the point isn't really to have great matches. It's just to sort of prolong feuds or whatever else you happen to be doing in those tags. Filling time is sometimes one of those. And I'd be okay getting more of this kind of Despy going forward, especially if we end up with another face on the holding the belt down the road, because obviously I don't think they're going to do Despy and Hiromu, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you do get your, you know, this isn't the only heel versus heel match we'll wind up having. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I think he looked really good here. Like you said, it's about, again, being motivated, because you don't get to do a lot of singles matches. And I think this works just because he's attacking something that, you know, it makes the crowd gasp every time. It gets your attention, and it gives Bushi a reason to really go after him and everything. So I think it works really well for him. And I think we'll see it more in the match that you have in Night 5 as well, where he just super heals it up. But you get Taguchi here against Volador Jr. to end your Best Super Juniors for Night 3. This was, again, a good match. You know, Volador doing his flying stuff, Taguchi doing his ass attacks, and Taguchi then eventually hits the Dodon and gets another win. So Taguchi with 4 points at this point here.
This was, I don't know, this just kind of missed for me. It was sort of like they were just out there doing stuff instead of trying to capitalize on all the momentum the other three matches had. I like Volador a lot. I just don't think him and Taguchi really clicked here. And maybe they weren't just meaning to really try to go all out here either, because obviously it's small crowds and house shows and whatnot for some of these matches. And you have to have an off night somewhere. Maybe this was just one for both of those guys.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, that'll end your Block B for Night 3. So we'll move on to Night 4. And Will Ospreay gets to start off against Taka. I think this is I didn't get to watch a lot of Night 4. I think I only watched the last match because I was trying to hurry up and make sure I watched the most recent one. Mm-hmm. Ospreay gets to beat Taka here in a good match.
This was another one of those smartly worked Taka matches, where he's trying to play the wily veteran, trying to stay a couple steps ahead of Ospreay, and Ospreay is just way too fast and finds ways to get out of the situations Taka puts him in, eventually getting the big moves that lead to the Oscutter. So I enjoyed this. This is, once again, when we're talking about some of the older guys in this tournament, like Taka and Tiger and Juice and Thunder Liger and Kanemaru, they're here to plot out good matches and get a few wins here or there. And Taka, I think, certainly lives up to that role here.
Certainly, and you just mentioned Mr. Liger. So you got Juice and Thunder Liger against Mighty Skrull. Another good match here. Skrull winds up winning with a chicken wing and making Liger tap. And no points for Mr. Liger so far.
Yeah, this is a bit of a surprise. Obviously, you know, this could happen to any of the vets in the tournament. But Liger not getting a point so far just screams that he's either going to make a close run to winning at the end, or they're going to sort of just Tenzin him and let him languish with very few points, and just the realization that you aren't in the same league with these young kids anymore. And that's a sad one to have. But this was fun. Marty, despite Liger and Marty being more serious here, Marty still has that that villain role that he lives up to very well. And that's still on full display here. Lots of big moves, a couple of Ranas, you get some superplexes, and just the counters, I think, are really well done throughout this, too. So hats off to both of these guys for putting on a fun match.
Well, this wasn't very fun because it involved Taichi. And sadly, he made Dragon Lee have a just whatever match because it's Taichi and he beat Dragon Lee. Four points already.
Sometimes you just don't have words, Sean. This is one of those times. I can't explain to you how bad a worker you have to be to make somebody who is so talented like Dragon Lee have a match like this. This is just awful. Tai Chi dictates the pace. He does a lot of his usual shtick. Nobody gives a shit. Dragon Lee gives a slow few shits that he just sort of phones in the ending. And it's just blech. Like, why can't he have no point, Sean?
He can't, man, because I guess he can't, you know. I guess Ghetto must really like him or something, or he just loves to troll the audience, one of the two. He even rips off Dragon Lee's mask. Thanks, Taichi. Just thank you. But hey, at least they gave you a terrific match here to... it wasn't as great as their, you know, the match we saw from Toyo no Kuni, mm-hmm. but they still had a pretty good match here. I enjoyed it. Ricochet wins, and he and Hiromu's now lost twice. So, you know, the champion not doing so hot so far, but yeah, definitely this one worth your time.
I think what's really important to note too is that he's losing to guys who he's already had title defenses against in both Dragon Lee and Ricochet, so it immediately lends them credibility back after those excellent matches they've had through the front part of the year. But this was once again really good. It's nowhere, like Sean said, it's nowhere near their near show stealing performance back at Toyo no Kuni, but what they give you here is still really good. Blue Thunder Bombs will always make me pop. So will Emerald Flosions. Lots of big moves here. It's just, it's compressed. It's nowhere near as long as their other match. And obviously they had a different goal in mind here too. So all that to be taken into account. But this is still really fun.
Yeah, certainly. And, it's definitely one of the better matches of the tournament so far. And that's going to end your night four. We'll get to the final standings here when we get done with night five. So night five is back to Block B again. And you have Yoshinobu Kanemaru and... I'm being distracted here. You have Envador. And you know what? They were actually having a pretty good match here. And then you had a lot of interference happen with Taka getting involved. And, you know, and then Taka goes and gives him a tequila bottle. Thank God it didn't break, because that might have been the end of Odor Jr. there. And all you hear is this thud from the side of the bottle. He hits him in the head, and then he hits that deep impact, and Kanemaru now has 4 points. So another guy that has more points than a lot of people thought he would have. So
Kanemaru, I thought, was going to get 4 points, so this early in the tournament he has me nervous he's going to break my block. But Either way, this was fun. Lots of guys falling victim to Suzuki Gun and all of this. Kind of at least makes these guys feel a little bit more important, which is nice. It just kind of stinks that it has to come at Valador's expense here, but he does at least fall victim to the number game, so you have that going in his favor. But the tequila bottle spots sort of had me laughing, just because that's such a WCW thing to do. Like, Ghetto's clearly been going deep in the vault.
To go back to WCW moments here. Hey, at least again, you know, when they have these matches that are kind of not redeeming, they go and give you one that's great, and the rest of the matches on this show are terrific. And you start off with ACH and Tiger Mask, and man, these ACH looked awesome in this. He really helped Tiger Mask look better than he normally does, and Tiger Mask gets another 2 points eventually with the he gets the crucifix pin. So it's not like ACH gets totally demolished by something, so that's good at least. But again, these two went out there. I love the ACH just doing the multiple dives. He got the crowd really into it and everything. And they were chanting for ACH and stuff, so that's good too.
I really, really enjoyed this match, and it came out of left field, because I'm like, all right, ACH and Tiger match, they're gonna have a good match, right? And they come out and have a great match. And just Tiger Mask somehow either finding the Fountain of Youth or had this buried in him the whole time with ACH, who is just, you know, maybe, you know, top five high flyers in the world right now. It's just incredible, incredible stuff. And Sean already mentioned all the suicide dives, but the big Germans, and once again, Tiger Mask really working reversals very well into his favor throughout this match. Really kept the flow going in the right direction, and the surprise win for Tiger Mask was a pleasant one, because I was really expecting ACH to get the victory, and he once again does not. So another, I don't want to say a disappointing start, but you know, disappointing start for ACH.
Said it without saying it there.
Yeah.
So then you get Ryusuke Taguchi and El Desperado, and somebody finally figured out that the way to stop Taguchi is you need to go and tranquilize his ass. So Desperado actually goes and does it, and it's just so awkward. Like, you're watching him shove this thing up a man's ass, and you're going, what am I watching? Did this turn into a pornography show for a second here? And, man, I mean, the crowd let him know it, too, so, I mean, at least you got that. But, gosh, after that, you kind of think of things differently, but, you know, Taguchi came back and got the ankle lock on Desperado even. And then Desperado has to use again his smart wiles of being a heel, and he hits the ref and then hits a low blow, and he hits his own version of the Angel's Wings to get the win on Taguchi, and Desperado now has 6 points.
I don't think anybody would have saw this coming as far as Despy's point total goes right now, but this match was really fun. It's a great balance of both of their tactics and stuff they like to do in matches versus good ring work. And really, they had me from the moment Desperado went outside with a pin and just started stabbing Taguchi in the butt. Like, that was... I died. I was dying a lot. I had to hit pause. I was... Oh, it crushed me. And then they come out and they have this really fun match. Taguchi trying to fight back essentially from losing his greatest weapon, and Despy continues to stay a couple steps ahead of him with various holds and lots of heel tactics, and pulling off his own mask and tossing it to Taguchi, I thought was just a really fun way to finish the match, because, you know, he doesn't care, he just wants to win, and he does that.
Yeah, he does, and it's just I'm sorry, that moment is kind of, it sticks with you. You don't think of, I don't think I can think of Desperado the same time I see him in a match.
Just a top five WTF moment in wrestling so far for 2017 right there.
I wonder if Taguchi is going to carry that pain with him the rest of the tournament.
It would be really hilarious if he taped up his ass for the next night.
Yeah. Let's do it, Taguchi. Night 7.
Go get you an extra large ace bandage and just wrap it around your waist the whole way down.
So, the main event here, Kushina and Bushi, no love lost between these guys. Every time they've had a match, it's great. And this was absolutely great. You got a, you know, lower end match of the year contender here. The best match so far in the entire tournament. I don't know what else to say, but these two know how to work with each other. Kushida gets his first win. And, yeah, and it's against the former foe. So I think that's allowed for Kushida.
And Bushi is now at zero. He hasn't won a match yet, which is pretty gosh darn depressing, if you ask me. But I think both guys, especially Bushi, was particularly motivated to go out there and make sure that you're not sailing the boat on him yet as far as somebody who can have great matches and be such a great worker. Because, I mean, he's doing the six-man tag stuff, and that's all great. And the spotlight's on Hiromu as far as the junior heavyweight division goes for LIJ. But, I mean, Bushi just, oh, this was so great. These guys, we've seen them have great matches before. This might be their best. Just because you, not only do you have the story with Kushida going on, but just a motivated Bushi is just so nice to see in this occasion. And Kushida bushing out the God's Last Gift to roll into the hoverboard lock was a nice touch to, for the finish. So I really dug this, and hopefully we get more big stuff like this with Kushida and Bushi going forward with the other guys on their block.
Yeah, I hope so, too. This is, again, they've now set the standard of what to expect as far as great match for this tournament. So let's see what they start doing in Night 6, Night 7, you know, when we're talking about this again. So for overall, still the tournament's been enjoyable and been just an easy thing to watch.
I've had a blast watching all these shows so far. Just like you said, lots of fun matches. You know, these smaller shows aren't going to have the sort of match that Kushida and Bushi had all the time. And just like the G1, you have to save them for the right times. And, I think they certainly did that very well so far. So props to all those guys working these matches, and can't wait to see what else the rest of the tournament has going forward.
For sure. Well, guys, that is best of the Super Junior for this week, or at least for now. We'll have more great content as we follow that journey of Best of the Super Juniors. A lot of great stuff coming out of it. You know, of course, you also heard some insertions too. That was pretty terrifying, guys. I'm sorry. Oh, that scares me. Not everything's coming out. Anyway, let's go ahead and tell everybody that
thank
you go
God
find
nothing came out of his.
Oh, I try not to go there, but yes.
I think you got a couple new clips for the opening, at least, if you want, Gary.
I know, now. Hey, there you go. We're set. We got it. I love it. It's beautiful. Well, of course, don't forget, everybody, go check out all their other great content that we have to offer. Make sure you go to check it out at W2Mnet.com. Also, go follow us on Wrestling of the Max. That stream you get on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. Plus, if you love everything at W2Mnet.com, then that means you'll love everything at the W2M Network. Go subscribe there as well. Don't forget also that we'll be doing part two of episode 248 this Thursday night. Of course, I'll be available for you guys Friday morning on the download, along with other great stuff when it comes to the world of wrestling. And also, don't forget also to check out the great review shows we do every week too. So there's lots of content for you wrestling fans. And of course, one last thing, share. You know, that's what's the most important, right? You get taught that as a kid. Well, hey, share us with your friends, all the other wrestling fans that you know. Maybe even share us, you know, share the YouTube clip or something like that. when it comes to your Facebook. That kind of help us out. A lot of the people know about us. So just kind of do us a favor, and also we appreciate everybody that already does that kind of stuff for us. Well, I am Gary Vaughn. That is Mr. Sean Garmer and Mr. Paul Leeser. And until next time, if you're not living life to the max...
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Please.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.